Good evening. My message is going to be out of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verses 46 through 56. Luke chapter 1 verses 46 through 56. But I'd like to go back just a couple of verses to verse 41. This is after Mary was told of Gabriel that she was going to bear Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 41, "And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and hath exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house." The title of my message is Worship Like Mary. And I said worship like Mary. I didn't say worship Mary. I said worship like Mary. But that's the title of my message, Worship Like Mary. And I hope to help us to see tonight that every Christian might be ignited in soul and in spirit to magnify and to worship the name of our Savior, as did Mary. In verses 41 through 43, we see that God used Mary's meeting with Elizabeth to help confirm in Mary's heart the things that she had just been told from Gabriel. You might ask, well, why wasn't this great song right after she'd been told by Gabriel? Well, sometimes God, first of all, I think that if an angel had come to me and told me things so wondrous as she was told, I don't think I would have had a whole lot to say either. She was dumbfounded, first of all, with the news that that the impossible would happen to her, that she would conceive, having known no man, in a sexual relationship. And then secondly, angelic appearances hadn't been common for quite some time. And so it was more uncommon. And so she was more dumbfounded at that point and kind of processing that all in her heart. But then God used Elizabeth to help confirm those things in her heart and encourage her. And sometimes I think that God does that same thing in using fellow Christians to come alongside us and to confirm what He's already told us in His Word. But we see that not only simply by what Elizabeth said, but also for the very reason that Mary had told no one else about this. And yet Elizabeth not only knew that she was pregnant, but also that her child would be God in the flesh, the Messiah. Mary, overwhelmed in her soul and in her spirit with the magnitude of what was happening to her and how God was choosing to use her, could not contain the excitement and the worship in her spirit And therefore she breaks forth into this beautiful song of worship and praise. So I'd like us to see a couple things about the way that Mary worships in her song. First of all, that Mary worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. Mary worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth. We see that in verses 46 and 47 specifically. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." That seems to reflect what Psalms 103, verse 1 says when the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Mary models for us in her song a praise, a mind that is saturated in the truths of God's holy word. She reflects aspects also from Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. When Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." And she also echoed many other aspects of her prayer. But Mary was filled with utter amazement and wonder at what overflowed from her mouth were the expressions of what she felt in her heart and in her soul. She reflects the truths from many different scripture references throughout her song, such as Psalm 22, Psalm 103, Psalm 44, Psalm 89, Psalm 98, Psalm 25, Psalm 147. And I could go through and I could make those comparisons, but I would encourage you to go ahead and do that. I'll give you the list, but that she's just quoting Psalm and scripture after scripture after scripture in her prayer, in her song to the Lord. And then, of course, there's Hannah's song that she reiterates from 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. And all of this reveals that her praise reflects a mind that is saturated with the scriptural truths from God's Word. We ourselves should be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, saturating ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis, that we too might worship God in the truth of who He is. In the truth of who He is. Like Mary, we too ought to view every moment that we spend in Scriptures as a chance to grow and to increase our view of God and what He expects from us. And as we do that, this knowledge of God will work itself out in a knowledgeable and in appropriate responses of worship that is pleasing and acceptable to God. What is pleasing and acceptable to God? Worship that is in spirit and in truth, both accompanied one another. So we see that Mary worshipped in spirit and in truth. Secondly, we see that Mary worshipped God in humility. I see that pictured here throughout this whole song. Humility, a humble spirit. And what does James say? That God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He draws close to the humble. And Mary showed a spirit of humility. We see that in verse 48. It says, "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call Me blessed." Mary had been singled out amongst all the eligible women that God could have chosen. And she gets to be the mother of Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, her very Creator. What an ego booster that might have been for somebody, but not for Mary. Not for Mary. Not once in Mary's song does she seek to draw attention to herself. Does she seek to lift herself up, to elevate herself, or to boast of her blessedness before the Lord or to Elizabeth. No, actually, quite the opposite is true. You see, when Elizabeth said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." But then she says, "But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, who am I that I should grace your presence?" And what is Mary's response? Mary responds with this song of worship, magnifying the Lord. And that what is magnifying? That's exalting, lifting high the name of God, and declaring His goodness and His faithfulness, and drawing attention and focus to God. And that's exactly what she did. She did not receive that glory. Mary acknowledged herself as a sinner, just like Elizabeth. We see that in verse 47. She says, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." My Savior. She recognized that she was no better or no more righteous than Elizabeth. She equated herself as a sinner in need of a Savior, just like Elizabeth. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. Mary also recognizes the importance of worshiping God in an orderly way. She worships God in her song here as God, first and foremost, and then as her Savior. So she puts the focus first and foremost on God as her Savior. She chooses her first words that praise God for who He is, and then follows that with praising Him for what He's done for her, for being her Savior. So Mary also shows that she's humble by referring to herself as God's handmaiden, or her bondslave, God's bondslave. That is, a willing, permanent servant of the Lord. Mary had a humble spirit, but her humility was like any other trait that's not tested. What good is it? And it was tested in this moment. And in this opportunity that she was given to bask and take pride in being the one that was chosen to bear the Messiah, Mary rather chose to praise God and to magnify the Lord. She passed the test with flying colors as she exemplified that kind of gospel humility that reflects God's grace in the heart. But having said that, Mary's focus is not drawing attention and emphasis to her humility, even though she was very humble, and we see that throughout the words that she chooses in her song. We see her humility. We see her humble spirit. But that's not what she's trying to draw attention to. She draws attention to God. Rather than diverting, her attention is her focus is not on drawing attention and emphasis to her humility, but rather it's a response to Elizabeth's honor, and she diverts Elizabeth's honor back to God and His power and His mercy, His strength, His blessings, His faithfulness to keep His covenant promises. So secondly, we see that God was worshipped by Mary with humility. Then thirdly, we see that Mary worshipped God with thankfulness. With thankfulness. We see that in verses 46 through 56. Our passage here, throughout her whole song, we see that Mary worshipped God with thankfulness. Now, you might say, I don't see the word thankful or grateful anywhere in this song. So where do you see that Mary worshipped with thankfulness? Well, that's very observant of you. So thank you for pointing that out. While it is true that the word thanksgiving or grateful is not in this song of worship, Mary clearly displays a heart that is overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving as she recounts God's faithfulness to keep His promises and to be merciful to those that fear Him. So then you might say, well, obviously Mary was thankful. I mean, she was literally the special woman that God chose to bear His Son. So maybe the better question would be, what's not to be thankful for? Well, as an unwed mother, in a culture and in a religion where that meant ostracism at the very least, and quite possibly death, not to mention how anxious she could have been in thinking about how on earth she was going to explain this to Joseph and expect him to believe that she hadn't cheated on him. But instead of allowing herself to be consumed with worry and anxiety, she chose to rejoice in the goodness and in the faithfulness of God. She chose not to focus on everything that she could be worried about. How was all this going to work together? What were people going to think of her? What were people going to say? How am I, God's creation, going to mother Jesus? I mean, what can I teach him? I can't teach him anything. I can't imagine how inadequate she felt. But instead of her allowing herself to be so consumed with herself and her worry and her anxiety, she chose to rejoice and to focus and to worship in God and to give Him thanks instead of complaining about the unknowns or the potential dangers that lie ahead, given the responsibility that she now carried. What about you? What about the struggles in your life? What about the responsibilities that you've been given? Do you choose to focus on what could go wrong in your life or what is wrong in your life? Or do you choose to praise God for who He is, thanking Him for how He will work everything in your life together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose? Where is your focus? Matthew Henry said about verse 53 says, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath He sent away." Now, what does that mean? Matthew Henry said about this verse, "Those who seek their need of Christ and are desirous of righteousness and life in Him, He fills with good things, with the best things. And they are abundantly satisfied with the blessings He gives." He will satisfy the desires of the poor in spirit who long for spiritual blessings, while the self-sufficient, that's what she means by rich, the self-sufficient shall be sent away empty. So what is it that you're desiring after? What is it that you want this Christmas season? Or even maybe out of life in general? Is it to seek after spiritual blessings or fulfillment? Or is it to seek after the things that appease your flesh in self-sufficiency? Do you, like Mary, seek to worship God in spirit and in truth, binding yourself to God as a bond slave? Or do you go to church because it's a thing that we do? It's a ritual that we follow. It's a tradition that we keep up with. It's one more box that we can check off our list. Why do you go to church? Why do you come here to worship? Mary, it flowed out from the abundance of her heart. Do you think she flipped open her Bible and started reading all these passages of Scripture in her song? No, it came from being saturated in the Word. Not on Sundays, Sunday mornings, and then going back and, you know. No, this was by saturating herself and committing to memory the Word of God in her heart and in her spirit. And when it came to a point when she didn't know what else to say, didn't know how to express how she felt in her soul and in her spirit, she worshiped God out of the abundance of her heart and just uttered Scripture after Scripture after Scripture of praise and worship and glory and magnitude to her God. Mary's prayerful song of praise and worship ought to challenge and motivate every one of us who claims to be a Christian in our attitude and in our focus of worship. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? Do you worship God out of humility? And do you worship in thanksgiving? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this beautiful prayer to you that Mary sang, and the words in which she chose, her focus, that she chose not to revel in the glories and in the splendors of being the mother of Christ, the birth, to give birth to Christ, but rather to revel and to glory in your great faithfulness, in your mercy to those that fear you, and in your goodness. Oh God, may that challenge every single one of us here tonight to worship you in the same way, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you in a humble heart, and to worship you with thanksgiving. May that never die, even though we're past the Thanksgiving month, so-called. May that spirit of thanksgiving be ever in our hearts when we come to worship you. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And we ask, God, that you would work in our hearts and in our lives to that end. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.